Father, Lord, it is a privilege, Lord, to be with your people, O God. Even more of a pleasure, O God, though, is to proclaim the name of Christ, Lord. Proclaim the Father and the Holy Spirit, Lord. To proclaim your word, Lord, letting it go out boldly, Lord, so that we might benefit, Lord, in all ways. Lord, as I speak today, I would just ask that the Holy Spirit just control all things, O God. Lord, if I should stumble, should I say something that's inconsistent with your word, O God, let not the ears of those who are here hear it, O God, but Lord, give them something that is sweeter and beneficial. Lord, what we will talk about today again is about you. So, Lord, we as your servants, we thank you for this opportunity to meet one more time. And, Lord, let the grace and mercy that only you can give be with this fellowship in all ways that we need, O God. Amen. Amen. The Word of God says in Psalm 148:13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. Then in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm here this morning because Pastor Jeff gave me a call a bit ago and said, would you mind saying a few words in front of the congregation? I'm a little bit verbal. I'm a little bit shy, but I'm a little bit verbal. But with the grace and the leading of the Lord, the answer was yes. So I went and initially had my own topic that I would like to have talked about. And I talked to Pastor Jeff about it, and he said, Leo, that sounds like a really good idea. And then he said a few more words toward the end of that Sunday. He said, just make sure it's Christ-centered. And I wish he hadn't said that. Not that I don't love Christ, because you hear, no, I love Christ. But I had a message that had already been prepared. I was eager to get it to you. I was excited that someone had asked me to come in and say a few words. So I said, the opportunity is now. But then, that Sunday and the next day, by God's Spirit, the words kept coming through, Christ-centered, Christ-centered, Christ-centered. The message would have been okay. The message would have been from the Word of God, and you might have even enjoyed it, but the message was not about Christ specifically, Christ only, Christ whom we will have our communion service for later on, was not that narrow. So after getting clear message from the Lord that something else needed to be done, I took off on another course. I said, what will I talk about? Well, the Lord in his divine grace and mercy had already been working on some things. And this morning when I talk to you, it's going to be kind of personal. It's going to be what happens between me and the Lord. It's going to be something I probably wouldn't have shared if this opportunity had not come forth. You see, because I'm in a situation now where something's going on. There's something happening. There's something at work. I haven't figured it out yet. But I'm not worried and I'm not concerned, because in due time, in his grace and mercy and direction and discipline and discernment, I'll find out what that thing is. But it relates actually to the communion service. I have stood up here in the service. I've been in the pews. I've been in the foyer waiting for the service to take place. I love communion. But I noticed over the past maybe 2-3 months that something was happening. Whether I was up here, there, something was happening. So I've been in prayer, I've thought about it, meditated on what this might be. And the Lord is showing me some things that might be going on. Turn with, if you will, with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter, starting at the 13th verse. And the Word of God says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Coming to the Word of God, I'm getting some of the answers. I'm getting some of the directions. Not surprisingly, it is about the Lord Jesus Christ, because we all need to have asked that question, continue to ask the question, if he gives us grace to ask it and, you know, answer it in the future. Who is God? Not only unto salvation, but into our daily lives as we progress through this realm. Who do we say that Christ is? And thanks to Pastor Jeff, again, I'm getting to the point where I need to start answering that. I'm not talking about salvation, folks. I have an assurance of salvation. If there be any here who have greater assurance, you're wrong. I love the Lord, seek him. I love his word. I was going to say I love his chastisement, but that's a lie. I love when he works with me and allows me to see his working through me and with me. So it's not about the salvation. This thing is not about that. I have no question that should something happen this moment, I will be in the presence of the Lord. So it's something different than that. Let me take you to another scripture. Let's go a little bit further into Matthew and go to 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. I said it was about this communion service. What has been happening is that I would come to the table. I would be asked to pray sometimes, sometimes not. But in those moments of the ordinance, I found myself focusing in on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not his fullness, but his body on the cross. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But I was getting so specific, so focused in on that shed blood, that something started to stir. And this thing that started to stir was that if I focus in solely on blood, I am missing the magnificence of who was actually on the cross. I hope that makes some sense. The blood is important. The blood is perfect. The blood is why I have salvation. The blood is something I praise God for frequently. But I was diminishing my God to the point where he was really more man, but allowed to shed blood than being God who had all the other fullness. So I started getting into this thing. And in my spirit, I knew something had to be done. Again, God working way before today, he had me go through his word. And as I would go through the word of God, I would notice that every now and then a name would pop up. And I'd catalog it. Names kept popping up. I'd catalog it. And then it came to a head recently in that my wife some time ago, Karen, went somewhere and bought a window from a demolished church. My first thought when she brought it home was, well, we don't need any more stuff. But this window was different. It had been from some very old church. My only thing is they either tore it down or they remodeled, whatever it is. But this was old, and I could tell it was old because there was a tapestry in the window. And on that tapestry were the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's old because you travel around now. And I dare say, even here, not that we have the windows for it, you will not see the names of the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed for any passerby. So as God is working with me, I pass by this window, and I'm reading the names, and the names are wonderful. It gives me a head start. It gives me a place to go. It gives me something where, hey, I kind of see what's going on here, Lord. You're bringing me back to yourself. And in one area of the tapestry, it is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Good thing. Lion of the tribe of Judah. Another good thing. Messiah, we know that he is our Lord and our Savior. Had the true vine in another area. It had wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I'm reading these and I'm going, yes. I see where we may be headed, Lord. Continue with the window. I would read some days, the bright and morning star, Lamb of God, Emmanuel, Savior. But folks, as I read through, had my own list of names, I noticed that some were missing, two in particular. So in my arrogance, maybe that's what God is working at. In my arrogance, I said, how could these people have had a tapestry for the world to see, and I have these two names? And he said to me in his own way, he said, Leo, when have you made me a tapestry? When have you adorned a window? And then more crushing and more important than that, he said, because I'm a sovereign God, had I wanted those names on the window, they would be there. So you see, he's working with me. We read back again in the 15th chapter of Matthew. The question seems to be becoming, who do you say that I am? And again, for those saints who are here, and I know we have folks who have been in Christ Jesus' redemptive work for a long time, but the question remains, who do, not did, not will, who do you say that I am? So the challenge for me, and I hope the challenge for you this morning, is whom do you say the Lord is? And not, and I would even do this, folks, even at the communion table, when we come in, who do we say Christ is? Do we say we're here because we do it every first Sunday? We do it every Sunday during the summertime. We do it those times. But when you come here, whom is it that we are worshiping? Whom is really on our minds? Who is really on our hearts? And more importantly, have we made Christ a small God that we take an element here, an element there, and not the fullness of the Lord Jesus? Because that's where our hope is. That's where our salvation is. We need that fullness, not only because he has it, but because we who are his servants need to be mindful of our Creator, mindful of our God, mindful that these elements represent a work that he has done. So God is working with me, honing me. And I dare say I already believe that there's a good place he's taking me, because even the time now where I'm even contemplating what it is that he's doing, it has been beneficial. I thought somebody would have raised a hand by now and said, stop the blabbering, get on with these two names. Oh, you were going to raise your hand there, Steve? Somebody would have. I started to do this and asked the congregation to say, hey, congregation, you know, give me some names. What do you think? But for time's sake, I'm not going to do that. The two names and are so powerful that I love the Lord because he has given them to me, not necessarily for anyone else in here, but for me. He said, look at my names, one of which is the Son of God and the other the Son of Man. Folks, if you get into your word, get into your scriptures, you will see such awe-inspiring, awe-encompassing names of our Lord. Now, unless you think that that's the only name, because those are when he gave me, fear not. I know when I asked you, why you're not asking me, I know names were conjured up in your own minds, and you were saying, yeah, that's good, Leo, but, you know, I have others. Well, let me tell you how awesome our Lord Jesus Christ is. I don't know how many of us are in here, but if each of you picked two names or three names or five names or 10, it would not begin to exhaust. In my thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ, I said every good and wonderful word in English, Greek, any language, again, if it is true, honest, pure, etc., etc., from Philippians. If a word that can be applied to Christ. But we don't need to get that far. I did a search on the names of Christ. I have my own, of course. And I'm thinking 70, 80, 90, whatever, something of that nature. Well, folks, if you take the names and titles and the characteristics that describe our God, you come out with this. 8 pages of names. And what it tells me again is that our Lord is so great, so wonderful, that we cannot imagine. It's a mystery that we will never be able to imagine in this realm. The wonderfulness of the Lord, the descriptions we could make, will never exhaust who he is, will never exhaust his deity, will never. The angels are continually saying, holy, holy, holy. I understand now. They would have to, because his majesty is so great. So I go back to Pastor Jeff when he graciously told me that I should be Christ-centered, reformulated, went back to work. And I want to talk a little bit now again about that name of Christ, Son of God. Another digression quickly. We have great pastors here, but they could spend the rest of our membership here on that name alone. Don't do it, though, if you would. We like a little variety, but no, let me put it another way. God has transformed me. Should the Lord lead you to do that, be obedient. Amen. When we think about, again, the Son of God and the Mediator, our Lord, Spurgeon, I ran across something that gives me great delight. I'd like to read it to you. He says, and the title of it from C.H. Spurgeon is, he is precious. As all the rivers run into the sea, so all delights center in our beloved. The glances of his eyes outshine the sun. The beauties of his face are fairer than the choicest flowers. No fragrance is like the breath of his mouth. Gems of the mine and pearls of the sea are worthless things when measured by his preciousness. Peter tells us that Jesus is precious, but he did not and could not tell us how precious, nor can any of us compute the value of God's unspeakable gift. Words cannot set forth the preciousness of the Lord Jesus to his people, nor fully tell how essential he is to their satisfaction and happiness. Believer, have you not found in the midst of plenty a sore famine if your Lord has been absent? The sun was shining, but Christ had hidden himself, and all the world was black to you. Or it was night, and since the bright and morning star was gone, no other star could yield you so much as a ray of light. What a howling wilderness is this world without our Lord. If once he hideth himself from us, withered are the flowers of our garden, our pleasant fruits decay, the birds suspend their songs, and a tempest overturns our hopes. All earth's candles cannot make daylight if the sun, capital S, UN, of righteousness be eclipsed. He is the soul of our soul, the light of our light, the life of our life. Dear reader, what wouldst thou do in the world without him, in the midst of its temptations and cares? What wouldst thou do in the morning without him, when thou wakest up and lookest forward to the day's battle? What wouldst thou do at night, when thou comest home jaded and weary, if there were no door of fellowship between thee and Christ? Blessed be his name. He will not suffer us to try our lot without him, for Jesus never forsakes his own. Yet, let the thought of what life would be like without him enhance his preciousness. What has amazed me in this short journey, it's been a short while, is that when I do go back to the Word of God itself, it is replete with so much to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. His being the Son of God. Let's go to Luke 22, 66 through 71. And it says, and as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. I started with that scripture. Can you see the importance? When we read that Lord Christ is the Son of God, Christ himself has declared it. When he says, Ye say that I am, he's not just responding, he's confirming. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says he's the Son of Man, Son of God, it makes us now back into whom it is that we have labeled. Who is our mediator? Our mediator is no less than God himself. For the sake of time, I started to go back to our Confession 1689. But all the attributes that you would read that are of God apply to Christ. Now, why do you say that's important? It's important because God, before creation, being of the Godhead, had ordained that we would be created. He ordained that he would serve as our mediator. And he ordained that we would be the elect. So that's why Christ is important. That's why being the Son of God, we can rest in an assurance. That's why the name is so important. And so when you read in your scriptures, all the names, maybe you have your favorite, that's fine. But when I came across that name, it said to me, this truly is important. Because it says, as the Son of God, his mediation was a done deal because he's of the Godhead. Then in John 5:18, you don't have to turn there, more confirmation. He says, therefore, the Jews sought more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. One more scripture. John 10:30-33. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Health is deteriorating, so I may even close with this. The Lord God, in what he has given me in Scripture, what he's given me by his Spirit, says, When I'm up here, I'm there, I'm out. I'm at another church taking communion. Now, when I approach the table, ladies and gentlemen and young folks, it is not about a diminutive God. It is about a God who hung on the cross, who was fully, fully God, one who could proclaim command that Leo Montgomery can stand here because what God himself has ordained and done for me. So communion takes on and is taking on a new look. I would also plead, be there young person, old person, middle-aged, whatever you are, if you cannot claim the name Son of God as something that is personal, something that is real, something you can identify in God's word, if you cannot say that, if you cannot say, yes, I have done that, yes, because of that name, I have bowed a knee and confessed and repented. If you cannot do that, today is a good day. Matter of fact, join me in my process. My process is not unto salvation because I am a child of the true and living God. But if that is not your status, if the Lord is working, if there's a spirit moving in you, today would be a great day. And at this church, we don't do the running the aisles, come up and, you know, profess and, you know, be whatever, whatever. We don't do that. If the Spirit of the living God is moving in you, quietly at some point, approach a pastor. Approach one of the people you may know, whoever brought you here if you're a visitor. Or you can certainly come to me. I am just a servant, but I serve a great God. So if the day would be that glorious day, you say, the Spirit's been moving. I want to know more. I want at some point, I don't want to know what you have. I want to know that Jesus Christ personally. I want to know him so well that at some point when I read in the scriptures where it says the Son of God, it won't be three words. It'll be the representation of a holy God. Don't think this is a part of just a presentation. This is truth. What I love about the Lord, you never know when, and sometimes you never know how. But if he's bringing you forth to his kingdom, then this may be the day. So let's give him praise. Let's go to prayer. Father, I've had but a short time. But I would pray that the word spoken, the scriptures read, would be such that for those who are already yours, those who have been sealed by the blood, Lord, if there's been a falling away, you talked about the church of Ephesus falling away, forgetting their first love. Lord, if we've fallen away and forgotten or not diligent with our first love, Lord, call us back. Lord, and I probably would be in that calling, have been in that calling. So, Lord, do that. Give us grace, give us wisdom, discipline, understanding, or give us knowledge, whatever would bring us closer to you. But Lord, again, if there be even one person in here who could say that Jesus Christ is not my Lord, not my Savior, not my Son of God, my prayer is that this has been an opportunity that you would use this time, use this speaker to say, come to him. He's drawing you by his Spirit. So, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, there's a lot more to be said. But, oh, God, if we spoke about you from here to the end of our lives, Lord, we would not even scratch the surface. Because I've read through the Word, and I know, again, your magnificence is just unknowable. It's just a mystery in so many ways. But, Lord, if you continue to just give us glimpses, oh, God, that would be plenty. Because, Lord, we who have still the flesh, Lord, we could not handle much more if we desired. But give us again as much as we need. So, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We bless you. You are our God. And, Lord, we say, thank you for the salvation that came from the Son of God. And let the saints who are here who are saved say amen.